Once God gets you, once God gets me, He has everything He needs to reach a world that's lost and dying. You say, well, Brother Burge, I'm not much. Join the club. Man, when God got me, hey, listen, I had red hair and freckles, and I was a shy, introverted boy. I'd cut speech class. If I had to give a speech, I'd cut the class. I wasn't even an average student. I think I had 3 tests one time. They had to count up all of it in order to get 100 on a test. Amen. I mean, I was below average, but God called me to preach. And you can ask Alice. I was sitting beside my preacher's daughter. The night God called me to preach, and people came up and said, Gene, are you sure that God called you to preach? There's been a whole lot of times I wondered over the years. But I've learned this. Her dad took me aside and told me something I've never forgotten. Her dad was my pastor. And he said, son, God will never call you to do anything that He will not give you the ability to get the job done. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that lives within you that wants to use you for His glory. And so when we learn that lesson, even the air of giving, it's not our ability, it's His ability to do through us what He wants to do to reach a world that's lost and dying. But I'm going to read 5 verses, then actually we're going over to chapter number 9 and just one verse out of there. But chapter 8, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, we do with the grace of God bestowed upon... I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Now you know why I take my wife along. Amen. She not only corrects me, she writes my sermons. Amen. I've only preached out of 2 Corinthians thousands of times. Amen. To be honest with you, I'm tired. We have been going and going and going and going and going and going. And you say, when are you going to stop? Hopefully in the first part of August, we got a week open, I think, something like that. But you pray for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do with the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in riches of liberality. For to their power by record, yea, beyond their power, they are willing themselves. Bring us with much entreaty, we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice the key. They gave themselves to God. Once we give ourselves to God, then God will use us to reach this world. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, thank you now for Lord Jesus, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Brother and Sister McLean, and what they mean to us personally as our friends, what they mean to missions in general, what they mean to Canada and BMFP Canada. I pray that you'll bless them today and bless the dear people here. Thank you for everyone that has given this past year to be able to give to help missionaries go around the world. Lord, I pray that you'll help those that have already gave and will give to take that step of faith to trust you for a little bit more. And for those that have not participated yet and not gotten involved, may they jump in because it's your way of reaching the world. And your blessings come to those that do follow the Word of God. Help us now to be a blessing to your people. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In verse number 1, God lays out a plan to reach the world. He says, I want you to be a witness what God did in the church of Macedonia. And I mentioned in Sunday school how God used the poorest, most persecuted people in verse 2. To be used of God to reach a world that's lost and dying. Now that automatically tells me something. What you do for God does not depend on what you have in your checking account. That's right. Does not depend on what you have in your savings account or IRAs or any of that stuff. It depends on a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, mark it down, you'll not let God use you to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything starts when we give ourselves to God, and there is a personal relationship with God. So God says, I want you to see what God did concerning His grace in the church of Macedonia. And in Sunday school, I brought out the 4 levels of giving. Those who give below the tithe, God calls them a thief and a robber. If you're here this morning, I can say it, I'm leaving after today. Amen. If you're here today and you're saved and on your way to heaven and you don't give your tithe to God through your local church, and according to the Bible, you're a thief and a robber. But I got news for you. God will get it one way or the other. Either we give it to God or God takes it. And when God takes it, it hurts. So there's those that give below the tithe and there's those that give the tithe. The purpose of the tithe is we're giving back to God what's rightfully His. I used an illustration this morning in Sunday school. What we give back to God is just what belongs to God anyway. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. And God uses the tithe to take care of us and take care of the administration of the local church. Then there's something in the Bible called an offering. Even in the Old Testament, they didn't take up offerings to build the buildings, to build the temple or the tabernacle. They took up, they didn't use the tithe to do that. They took up offerings to do that. So the tithe is for the extra things to take care of the local church, and the offerings are for the extra things around the local assembly. But then when it comes to reach the world, God wants to do it so it's a blessing to us as well as a blessing to those who receive it. And that's what we call the missionaries. And so faith promise is simply this. It's not my tithe. Understand that? Shake your head if you understand that. It's not my tithe. It's not my offering. But it's above my tithes and offerings what I want to trust God by faith to give over and above my tithes and offerings to help send missionaries around the world. I've heard all kinds of preaching on faith promise over the years. Excuse me. Some preach that faith promise is giving what you don't have. Well, if I've got to give something I don't have, it means I've got to be a crook and steal it, amen? Go to jail. That's not what it is. Other people preach, and I hear this so much. Well, you wait on God to give it to you, then you give it. If I have to wait on God to give it to me before I give it, that does not take what? Faith. So what is the Bible way? What does the Bible say? Well, drop down to verse number 11 in chapter 8. Now therefore perform the doing of it, there is a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Whatever you have right now, what's it going to take faith for you to give? My last church, we had a group of widow ladies. They were hard on their husbands, killed their husbands off. We had all these widow ladies. In all the years I pastored, I never remember a widow lady that did not tithe. I can't remember one. And many times they even go in nursing homes. They'd still send the tithe to the church or somebody go visit. Precious, precious ladies. But many of the widow ladies, even men that lost their wives, they want that fixed income. They want that thing we have in the States called Social Security. Well, let me teach you two things about Social Security because I'm on it. There's nothing social about it. And there sure ain't no security in it, amen. Alice makes $200 a month from it. I get $500. Can't you live high on the hog on $700 a month? Yeah, right. And so there's nothing. And this thing called Medicare, forget it, amen. Anyway, that's another story. Oh, I'm glad as our past president's gone, amen. That's another story. But anyway, what was I talking about? See, I forgot it right there. I had all these widow ladies in church, and they were on fixed income. Some of them made $200 and $300 a month. That was it. They give their tithe, and some of them would even, most of them, in fact, would give a dollar or two to missions, called faith promise giving. When I took that church, the last church, it was started in 1842. It was old West Virginia's oldest Baptist church, and no, I was not the founding pastor. Amen. They had never had a mission conference. So I taught our people faith promise. And I had some men in church, had good jobs, good income. And some of them came to me and said, "Preacher, we got to understand this thing. It's not going to take faith when we give a dollar, $5, $10, $50. I had one man said, "Preacher," and he wasn't bragging. He said, "I think I'll probably have to give $100 or more a week in order to really give by faith." I said, "Well, if you understand it, that's what it's all about." Now, let me ask you a question. Here was a widow lady that gave a dollar a week. It took faith for her to give that. Here was a man who had good income. He started out $100 a week. Which gave the most? They both gave the same. You see it? The Bible says it's out of that which ye have. So whatever you have right now makes no difference. Your income makes no difference where you are as far on the totem pole as far as income. What's it going to take for you to give? If everybody would give something by faith, this church can do far more than you're even doing now to reach a world that's lost and dying. I asked you in Sunday school, what you gave last year, did it really take faith for you to give? If it didn't take faith, it's not faith promise. What you need to do is start at the bottom and say, is it going to take faith for me to give a dollar, $5, $10, $15, $20, $30, $40, $50? You come to the very best figure that you can do yourself. This is the very best that I can do. Then trust God what it's going to take faith for. Go just a little bit more and see what God will do. So he has a plan. The participants were the poorest people in all the Word of God. The purpose of it is to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is a prerequisite. The prerequisite, and I'm giving a 5-point outline very quickly. The prerequisite is giving yourself to God. But this morning I want to go over to chapter number 6. And I want to go to chapter number 9, verse number 6. Chapter number 9, verse number 6. And I want to point out the principle of faith, promise, missionary giving. When I was in Bible college, if I remember right, Noah and Abraham was there years ago, a long time ago. Brother McLean might have been in the class before me, I'm not sure. But anyway, a long time ago. Somebody came to chapel one day, and I remember who it was, a wonderful teacher of the Word of God. And he would come every year for a week or so, and came to chapel. And he taught us the four laws of sowing and reaping. It's not only true in the area of giving, it's true in every area of life. Remember in the book of Galatians, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Now that answers a lot of questions for me. In this life, listen to me very carefully, in this life, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Have you ever wondered why God saves, let's say, anybody know somebody got saved older in life? Let's say an old drunkard got saved older in life. I know several got saved in older life. I led several Lord myself over the years. Now, question. When God saves somebody, does he forgive all their sin? Sure does. Forgives all their sin. But I've seen people get saved. Let's say a drunkard. I've seen drunkards get saved and still die of cirrhosis of the liver. Why? Because of all the years they lived in sin. Now, even though they're saved, they're paying the consequences of sowing in sin. Now they're reaping the benefits of that sin. And we need to understand that. That's the reason I'm a strong advocate of trying to win boys and girls to Jesus Christ at an early age before they go into all that terrible stuff that we call sin. And because you're going to reap what you sow. It's not only true in the area of general life, it's also true in the area of giving. We reap what we sow. And he gave us those four spiritual laws. I've never forgotten them. Let me get you to write them down. Number one, we reap what we sow. Say it with me. We reap what we sow. Say it again. We reap what we sow. True in every area of life. If I want a harvest of corn in the fall, what I plant in the spring? Corn. Y'all intelligent up here. I knew that. Amen. If I want to harvest wheat, what I plant? If you plant nothing, you reap what? Somebody usually says weeds. Amen. Always one in the crowd. You reap what you sow. Years ago, I used to pastor. After I came back from Mexico, I took a church in Virginia, and God blessed that church. He really did. And we just started Faith Promise. I didn't know everything about it. I'll be honest with you, I wanted to become a conviction, and it became a conviction to us. Now, I was making $200 a week, and I'll just be honest, it was mid-70s. And so we just stepped out in faith and gave God another $20 to missions. That's how we started. We were giving God the tithe, gave God another $20. And I didn't know how it was working. But I remember it was about Christmas time, and I was out knocking on doors, and I don't buy shoes very often, so I wear my shoes out a whole lot. And I was out knocking on doors, and my right foot got wet. And I went home, and I had a great big old hole in the bottom of my boot. I wore boots back at that time. Doctors took them off of them because of diabetes. But I wore boots, and there was a great big old hole in the bottom of my boot. And I told my wife, I said, honey, it's Christmas time. I said, we bought something for the family. I got $20 in my pocket. I'm going to trust God that I can find a pair of shoes on sale for $20. So I went downtown Winchester, Virginia. They didn't have a mall at the time. And so it was raining, snowing. If I'm down south, we live in Florida. So if I'm down south, they don't understand what slush is. You all do up here. I have to call it cold, wet grits. Amen. Whatever that is. But I literally wore my shoes out telling people about the Lord. So I'm going window shopping. My foot's wet and I'm cold. And I came across this one window, shoe store. It had on sale for $16.95, a pair of shoes or boots just like I wanted. Closeout cell usually means size 15 or size 2. But I bowed my head and I said, Lord, now write this down, this is important. I said, Lord, you know my size is 10 and a half D. Right? That's important, amen. You know my size is 10 and a half D. What size do I wear? 10 and a half D. I said, right, you also said in the Bible, my feet are beautiful. I said, Lord, I got a cold foot. I need a pair of shoes. And so I started going to the store. And about that time, an old drunkard started walking down the street in front of me. He didn't even have a coat on. It was raining, snowing outside, slush on the ground. I looked down at his feet. He didn't even have any shoes and socks on. His feet were black from being dirty, but they were blue from being cold. And the closer he got, the more the Holy Spirit of God began to do that to me. Now, I don't think God speaks to you in an audible voice, but I know this. He can sure mess you up on the inside. Amen. And I looked at that fella, and all of a sudden, there was an urge within me to take that $20 and buy him a pair of shoes. And so I'm there arguing with God quickly, and I told the Lord, I've got a cold foot. I said, I've worn my shoes out because I've been knocking on doors. He said, at least you got one warm foot. Uh-oh. That old drunkard almost got by me. I reached out and grabbed him, started him. I said, sir, you don't know me. I said, I'm a young preacher. I didn't say I said, I'm a preacher on the other side of town. I said, let me show you something. I said, look at this. I said, I wore my shoes out telling people about the one I preach about, the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Why don't you have a coat on? Why don't you have any shoes or socks on? I knew why he didn't. Everything got hold of was one more drink of booze. I said, sir, if you'll trust me, let me take you in the store and see if they got a pair of shoes your size. I took him in the store, introduced myself to the clerk. She said, well, she called me Reverend. She said, well, Reverend, we got one pair left. I'll go out and get them. I looked at his feet, and I thought to myself, that's not his size. I said, Lord, if you want me to have them, remember, Lord, my size is 10 and a half D. Amen. Old devil cropping up. She brought this box back, a big old box and boots. And she said, here, Reverend, the only pair we got. Anybody want to guess what size they were? Size 10 and a half D. I said, well, go ahead and try them on. She said, would you mind trying them on? His feet were so dirty, she wouldn't want to do it. I'm trying to screw this boot on a foot without a sock. That's almost an impossibility. She came over and gave me a pair of socks, said, well, let me give him a pair of socks. So he got, old boy got a pair of socks. I finally got the boot on. She knelt down and fell around his foot and said, guess what, Reverend? I said, what? She said, they're exactly his size. I said, okay, give me the other one. Amen. So I put the other one on. I gave her a $20 bill. She gave me a $5 bill back. She said, well, it's Christmas time. Maybe I can help out a little more. So I took him next door. There was a little restaurant there called the Snow White Grill. They just had a little counter and stools, just a hamburger hot dog place. And I took him next door, and I bought him a hamburger, some french fries, a cup of coffee, and got me a cup of coffee. You could do that back in the 70s for $5. And I'm sitting at that counter. I took my Bible out, a little Bible I carry with me, and I led that old drunkard to the Lord. Somebody said, I just did a good pair of shoes. He went on to serve the Lord after that. You never, never, never know. I didn't say anything to anybody. That Sunday morning, the choir came in, and I was sitting right here, and the choir came in, and they sang a song. We had a lady by the name of Mrs. Copenhagen, right? Mrs. Copenhagen. She came and sat down. The choir started singing. She started crying. Just started crying. Special music got up. She started crying. Somebody gave a testimony. She started crying. Whole time I'm preaching, Mrs. Copenhagen crying. Crying. After service, Alice out of the back door. I said, Mrs. Copenhagen, what in the world's wrong with you? You've been crying all morning long. She said, preacher, it's not right. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. I said, what's not right? She said, when you sit on the platform and swing, you cross your leg, got a great big old hole in the bottom of the shoe. Said, preacher, that's not right. Said, my preacher ought not have a hole in the shoe. She said, God, take this tomorrow and go out and buy yourself a new pair of shoes. She put in my hand a $50 bill. I never had a pair of $50 shoes in my life until the next day. Question, what did I sow? I sowed a pair of shoes. What did I reap? I reaped a pair of shoes. You reap what you sow. People tell me all the time, Brother Burge, nobody loves me. If you want some love, plant some love. You want some kindness, plant some kindness. You want some friendship, plant some friendship. You want some money, plant some money. You reap what you sow. That's God's word. That's what he says there. But this I say, he who soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So number one, we reap what we sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. Say it with me. You reap more than you sow. If I had a kernel of corn planted in the ground, from that kernel of corn, it would die. That's a good illustration of the Christian life. It would die. And from that kernel of corn, a beautiful plant would come up. And normally every stalk of corn has usually at least two ears of corn on it. Next time you eat an ear of corn, you young people, corn actually doesn't come in canned or frozen. Next time you eat an ear of corn, don't take big mouthfuls. Eat one kernel at a time. You're going to find out every ear of corn has approximately 750 grains of corn on it. Now, wait a minute. I planted one kernel, and God gave me back 750, but there's usually two ears. Two times 750. 1,500 times more than what I planted. The story I just told you happened in 1974, 75, maybe 76, somewhere in that area. From that day to this day, I have never again bought a pair of shoes. I remember I had an old pair of shoes I was wearing when I resigned my church. And I wore them until they go crooked and everything else, you know. And I was up, where was I? Up in Georgia somewhere. And I went like this. And the heel of my boot flew off right across. Guy grabbed it midair. I said, good catch. I took crazy glue and glued it back on. We were up in Statesboro, Georgia. One of the first times I preached Brother Alderman. You know Max. I preached Max Alderman, who's now with us. But he said, Brother Burge, come up here before you preach. I went up. He was underneath the pulpit. He said, we love Brother Burge here. He said, quote that verse, how beautiful the feet of those who preach the gospel. And he put a box on the top of the pulpit and said, open up. Open the box was a $100 pair of floor shine boots, size 10.5D. We were out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they had a wonderful tradition out there. It's a wonderful tradition. I like this tradition. They took all the missionaries out and bought us new suits. That's a good tradition, amen. And they bought the wives new dresses. And so I'm riding in a van with the guys, the missionary guys, and the pastor, and the ladies in another van, and the preacher said, we're going to make a quick stop, fellas. He said, Brother Bird, you come with me. And so I went to the store with him. It was a Western store. And he said something to clerk. Clerk went in, brought out a pair of Western cowboy boots, exactly 10.5D, hand-tooled Western cowboy boots. He said, Brother Burge, we love you here. And gave me this beautiful pair of boots. We were down in, where were we? Sefner, Florida. I can tell you story after story after story. Down in Sefner, Florida, preaching with Ray Lindsay. Just started a church. And a dear lady came up to me and handed me a $100 bill. And I told her, I said, dear lady, I noticed your bulletin, it's okay for you all to do that. But somebody already did that to us today. That's the reason I'm saying that. But somebody put my hand on the bill. I said, I don't take money from church. I said, the pastor needs to know it or the local church needs to know it. Because I believe in local church. I think all giving ought to be given through the local church. And this lady started crying. And so I called Brother Lindsay over and said, Brother Ray, come over here. I said, she wants to give me a $100 bill. And I told her, the only way I could take it is if you know it. He said, Brother Bird, you go ahead and take it. He said, last week her husband was a truck driver and he was killed. And our church took up a large offering to help pay for the funeral. And she wants to be a blessing to you. And so I thanked her for it. And really, I wanted it. Amen. So I took it. Confession. Anyway. Next night, she came in carrying a grocery bag. And Alice and I are back where we used to carry tapes with us and all that stuff, back here by the tape table. She carried this grocery bag, and she came up to me and said, Dr. Burge said, last night when you crossed your legs on the platform, I noticed you wore Western cowboy boots. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, my husband loved Western cowboy boots. He said, 1 week before he was killed, he went out and bought two brand new pairs. One pair he wore one time around the house, and that was it. The other pair, I think he might have tried on, but he never wore them. She looked at me and said, Dr. Burge, would it offend you if I offered them to you? I said, no, ma'am. I looked at her and said, she said, well, I'm not even sure that you're a size. I said, dear lady, did God tell you to give them to me? She said, I believe he did. Anybody want to guess what size they were? 10.5D. You can't outgive God. The shoes I have right now, somebody gave us the money to buy for. This suit was given to me by a church up here in Canada. It's a Canadian Seymour's, right there, that Moore's. This tie is a Moore's tie. In fact, I got two of them. In fact, I got six of them over the past 12 years. You can't, listen, man, if I was smart, and we do, we give suits away. I give shoes away. If I was smart, I'd give my house away. I give Alice away, but she keeps coming back. Amen. That's all you can do. You reap more than you sow. You just cannot give God. Man, when I was a kid, I grew up in, first of all, we had outdoor plumbing when I was a kid, real small. If you don't know what that is, it's when you go outdoors. No Sears and Roebuck catalog got thrown away at our house. We used it all. But anyway, finally my dad built a house, had a furnace in it. The upstairs bedroom didn't have any heats, and that was my bedroom. So I had to get up every morning early, go down the steps and go down the basement, take my shovel, go over that coal bin, stir up the coals, put coal in there. The greatest day of my life was the day that coal bin went empty. My mother even made me sweep it out. I haven't figured out why yet. I had to sweep that dumb coal out. But then every time I looked at it and think I've done something, all of a sudden I hear a truck come up in our driveway. I had a little window that went to open up to the basement, to that coal chute. Here come a trough down, and all of a sudden, here come two more tons of coal. Pow! Here I am starting again. That's just like God. I give to God, and God gives back. I give to God. And you just cannot give God. We reap more than we sow. Number three, I'm almost done. Number three, we reap in proportion as we sow. We reap in proportion as we sow. The Bible says if you reap a little, I mean, if you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. If you sow much, you're going to reap much. We reap in proportion as we sow. Lord bless us with three children. In 1986, great tragedy took place in our life. We lost our 17-year-old son. Very tragic death. To be honest with you, I wanted to quit. My wife and many others kept me going. Of course, the Lord's the one kept me going. I remember when John died, we had absolutely nothing. Dr. Gray was our pastor at the time. Dr. House was in town. Dr. Malone, for those who don't know, these are big-name preachers. Big Bible conference going on. He left all that, came home, spent 4 hours with us. He called the funeral party, and the lady's husband died that owned it, so she was running it. And he said, we had a missionary family lose his son. Would you help them out financially because they don't have anything? We bought a double wide trailer, couldn't even afford steps up to it. Yet in Florida, you can't put a septic tank in the ground. It's got to be on top of the ground so your house or trailer's up about this high. Didn't even have any furniture. I think each had a chair and that was about it, maybe a bed. We couldn't afford it. He said, they don't have anything. Would you help them out? And Mrs. Frazier said, yes, she would. So the next day, Alice and I went over, and all we did was go one step above the cheapest funeral, and it cost $5,000. Incidentally, Brother Jertberg, whose wife just passed away, a missionary with us, Charity, 37 years old, he said, Brother Burge, we couldn't get life insurance on Charity because of her cancer. And this is before the funeral. And he called me and said, would you believe that God's people already have paid for it? $10,000. But I asked for $5,000. We didn't have it. She put us with the man managing the funeral parlor. He said, all right, Reverend, can you pay $100 a month? I said, no, sir, I don't think we can. He said, what about 50? I said, sir, if you'll trust me for 50, we'll trust God for it. We shook hands, didn't sign a contract or anything, didn't sign anything. We just shook hands. And we didn't say anything to anybody. We got praying about it. We checked our checking account. We had a little over $25 in the bank. That was it. And so we thought about a missionary that loved our son and somebody our son loved. They even came off a deputation. He's in Germany now. He's been there for years. Alice and I made a commitment. We're going to take on another missionary for support. Wrote out a check for $25. We went into the funeral broke, absolutely nothing. We didn't write a prayer letter. I've tried to tell missionaries this. Sometimes they don't listen. before we tell our supporters about a need, we need to tell God about it. We don't let God take care of us the way God wants to take care of us. We're so dependent on man and churches, we forget that God's able to take care of us. And we didn't send out a prayer letter or anything. And less than 3 weeks later, God's people poured out their love for us, and I walked in a check. When a check handed Mrs. Frazier, it was a check for $5,000. She looked at me and she said, "Well, Reverend, your God's alive and well." And I said, "He sure is." You cannot outgive God. You reap in proportion as you sow. Little we know, we didn't give $25 to get something back from God. We did it because God laid it on our heart and God sent him the funds. So number four, we not only reap what we sow, we reap after we sow. I want you to understand something about this faith promise business or grace giving. This is not what you see on the television. They call it prosperity giving. You give to God and God's got to give back to you. That's not what this is all about. The Bible says God will meet our needs as we do for him what he wants us to do. But sometimes what God gives back to us, money can't buy. Is there a dollar figure you can put on your children growing up serving God? And I've learned this. Many times in this life, we might not see something back. But won't it be worth it all when we stand before God and see what God did with the little bit we gave him? Amen. I'll guarantee you, every child of God, when we see what God did with what we call faith promise, we'll say, "Oh, I wish I'd given him more." But let me tell you, it's really not the rest of the story, the continuous story. About 3 weeks after our son John died, I left my wife, I left my other two children. One was in college, our daughter was in school in Jacksonville. And I flew to Maine. There was a preacher up here who wanted me to come to Maine. He said, "This faith promise will never work in his church." I said, "Yes, it would." He said, "No, it won't." I said, "Yes, it would." He said, "You come and you preach and I'll prove to you it won't work." I went and preached. It's still working 30 years later, 30-some years later. But I flew up there in the middle of Maine. And when I left my wife, we still didn't have hardly any furniture. We had blocks up to our front door and blocks up to our back door. We didn't have anything. And hardly any support. I went up there and preached. First night I gave the invitation, the altars were full. And the pastor looked at me after service and said, "Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Brother So-and-so?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, he's a member of this church. You go to a certain Bible college and they have three men's pictures on the wall and his is one of them. He owns a big business." I said, "Really?" I said, "Was he here?" He said, "Yes, he and his wife were here." I said, "Where was he?" He said, "It was the first one at the altar. I had his arm around a bus kid, praying that bus kid at the altar." That night I went back and he introduced himself to me. I introduced myself to him. And we knew who each other were by name. He said, "I think you preached at the college." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I know you are. I heard about your testimony and how God used it." He and his wife, now get this, he and his wife supported 30-some girls in Bible college full-time, paid the whole way, not counting the number of church planters. I can go over New England. God used them to help financially, literally build the churches. They put themselves on a fixed income. They give everything else away. And so that week, God bless, we're in the preacher's home on Sunday night. Their first faith promise, I think, was 30-some thousand. 30-some years later, they're still giving the faith promise. And so we're in the preacher's house, and I'm rejoicing with this couple's there. They did what I used to love to do, ice cream. Oh, my soul. That's probably, Alice says that's why I'm a diabetic, because I didn't eat it by the cone. I ate it by the half gallon. Amen. Amen. That's not the reason, but I like ice cream. We're eating ice cream. This man sitting across from me and his wife, he said, "Brother Burge," he said, "we fall in love with your ministry this week. We want to give you something." They handed me a check. I looked at him. I called him my name. I said, "I can't take that." He said, "I want you to take it." I said, "I can't take it." I said, "You need to talk to your pastor about that." Time his pastor walked over. He said, "Brother Burge," he called me about it. This is the way he does a lot of his giving. He said, "I thought it would be good." I told him, "Go ahead and do it." Then he said, "Anyway, preacher, it's not for you. It's for your wife." I said, "Oh, that's different, Dan. Thank you, sir." Amen. I took it. He said, "I understand you and your wife have not had a financial, I mean, have not had a break in several years in order to rest. I said, yes, sir, that's true. I hadn't said anything to anybody. He said, I want you to go home, take your wife, find a period of time you can get away and just go off wherever she wants to go and just rest. I said, yes, sir. He said, I understand you don't have any furniture in your house. I said, yes, sir. I didn't know how he found that out. He said, I want you to tell your wife if there's anything left over, go out and buy some furniture. I said, yes, sir. I flew home the next day. Alice picked me up at the airport. We're driving home. I reached in my pocket, took out the check. I said, here's a check from the church for groceries, the love offering from the church. I said, here's another check. I said, incidentally, this is what you need to do. And I told her the story. When Alice looked at the check, she started crying. It was for how much?
$5,000.
You come to our house. You sit on our furniture. You're sitting on faith promise furniture. Almost everything we have, God has given us. You cannot give God. There's a lot of our support's going the wrong way, but somehow God keeps taking care of us. I haven't figured it out yet. Just because that's who God is. But I want you to see this. It all starts with verse number 5. Of chapter 8. And this they did not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves unto the Lord unto us by the will of God. Let me ask you one question. How many of you are saved? Here's the follow-up question. If you're saved, and I want you to raise your hand on this one, how many of you really want God to use you more this year than He did last year? Hold up your hand. Every area, I want to be used of God more. God bless you. That's most of you. Can I tell you what I've learned over the years? It's easy to do this. It's harder to say, God, here am I. Use me. This is Mission Month. And if ever is the need, is this. God wants what's setting where you're setting. It's us. Will you be willing to give yourself to God? You raise your hand. Would you be willing to give yourself to God and say, God, here am I. Whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to do through me, however you want to use me, I'm going to be available for you to use. If you mean that business with God, in a moment we're going to have a verse of invitation played, and we're going to invite you to come and pray as a church and say to God personally, God, I want you to use me in a greater way than ever before. Whatever you want to do with me, however you want to use me, whatever you want to give through me, I'm going to be willing to let you do it. But then one more question. Bow your heads and close your eyes. No one looking around. Even though I didn't preach on it this morning, the reason I'm preaching is because souls are dying and going to hell. And if you're here this morning, you don't know for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You don't know that you have a personal relationship with Him as your Savior. May today be the day of your salvation. And if you're not sure of it, would you let me have the joy and honor of praying for you? I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out. But I just want to pray for you. Would you hold up your hand and say, Brother Burge, I'm not really sure. If I die today, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? God bless you, ma'am. I see a hand. You can put your hand down. Is there someone else? Brother Burge, I'm just not sure. I'm saved. Would you remember me, please, in prayer? Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Okay, let's all stand to our feet. Everyone standing. Heavenly Father,